If you're following along this morning, we'll be in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. As a visiting preacher who was really getting a congregation moving somewhere, and near the end of the sermon, he said, "The church has really got to walk." To which someone in the back yelled, "Let her walk, preacher." The preacher then said, "If this church is going to go, it's going to have to get up and run." You know, and someone again yelled with gusto, "Let her run, preacher." Feeling the surge of the church, the preacher said, even louder voice, "If this church is going to go, it's going to really fly." Once again, with even greater gusto, someone yelled out, "Let her fly, preacher, let her fly." The preacher then seized the moment, and with an even more convincing voice, "If this church is really going to fly, it's going to need some money." Someone in the back yelled, "Let her walk, preacher, let her walk." You know, sometimes a lot of people aren't really committed to the church and its mission. And a little bit's good, but then whenever it gets too much for them, they kind of cut and run. You know, Paul said, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things." Let's read our text where it says that, 4:8-9. "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance." So, we are healthier and wealthier in America than any culture in the history of this world. Yet, we're also more emotional, have more mental disorders, more addictions, and more syndromes than any culture that's out there. According to a World Value Survey in March of 2004 issue of Christianity Today, the U.S. ranked 16th among the world's 65 happiest countries. We probably would have guessed that with all our good health and affluence, we would have been number one. But the distinction of being the world's happiest country goes, of all places, Nigeria. The world's 140th ranking economy has the number one ranking in happiness. Now, how strange is that? How can we just explain this disparity in happiness in the wealthiest country where we live and the poorest country? You know, perhaps it's because Nigerians have not been spoiled by materialism. You know, in Thomas's class this morning, he was talking about when Israel was doing good, they tended to forget God and slip into wickedness, and then God had to remind them of what, you know, what their place was in this world at that time. But in spite of their poverty, the Nigerians, you know, suffer with plagues and political unrest. They have found value in their lives. It seems in America, we must find a way to happiness around our affluence. Take, for instance, the comparison Paul made in our text passage. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. There's certainly something good to be said about physical exercise. It helps us to be healthier and stay healthier. But the value compared to godliness pales in comparison. It's not the most important thing. The most important thing is godliness in our lives. Godliness of being like God. You know, thinking like God, understanding His ways, and knowing in advance what, you know, what He wants us to do. You know, bank managers and store owners constantly tell their employees to cooperate with robbers. Give them the money, it can be replaced, you like it or not. That's a value judgment. You decide what is more value for you, and you make a decision accordingly. And that's what God's Word is teaching us here. We are told what to place our priority on and what to have the most value placed on. And that's godliness, not in the gold and silver or, you know, anything like that. Because we can't take it with us. It can be taken away from us. It can go, you know, go away just as easy as it comes sometimes. But godliness is going to be the thing that's going to take us from this life to eternity. Have you heard about the important business executive who boarded a New Orleans to Washington train? Now, he was a very heavy sleeper, and needed to be awakened in order to get off the train in Atlanta at about 5 in the morning. He had a very important business meeting in Atlanta, so he couldn't afford to miss his stop. He found a porter and told him, "I want you to wake me up in time to get off the train at 5 in Atlanta. Now, I'm a very heavy sleeper, and it doesn't matter if I fret or fuss over what you do. You must put me off the train in Atlanta." But the next morning, he awakened about 9 o'clock, and the train had long since passed Atlanta. He located a porter and really poured it on with all sorts of abusive language, almost attacking the poor guy bodily. After he left, the observer said to the porter, "How could you just stand there and take that kind of talk from that man?" The porter looked up rather sheepishly and replied, "That ain't nothing. You should have seen the guy I put off in Atlanta." You know, that's the problem with a lot of people today. They haven't gotten off at the right station. Their priorities are askew, and their lives are unsettled in all kind of ways. You know, they haven't gotten off at the right station. And that right station is where God meets and where we can meet God and get to know God. There's so much unsettled people out there. Now, I know some people have medical conditions. Some people have some true things that they need some help with, from a mental health professional or someone like that. And that's not the people we're talking about here, but it's the constant anxiety that people face. And sometimes they turn to pills to get some relief from it. And, you know, they worry about too much. They worry about dying. They worry about the job. They worry about the next meal. They worry about this and they worry about that. However, whenever their bank account's fat and everything's going good, they tend to worry less. And that's the whole reason why Nigeria can be such a happy place for those people. And America ranks only 16th. You know, we should be the happiest people in the world. Now, God wants your life to have value. He doesn't want your life to be empty and meaningless. He created you to have fellowship with Him and be fulfilled in that relationship. You know, this morning, if we're not happy with our relationship with God, if meeting with the saints is a drudgery and something we can't stand, then something's wrong with our priorities. We don't have that godliness. You hear all the time people, I don't want to go to heaven because that's just boring and stuff like that. It's only boring if someone has no godliness in their life. God is great. God is wonderful. And God has done magnificent things in this world, in this universe, and things we can't see out there. And yet He loves us, each and every one of us individually, and wants to have a relationship with us. And someday we'll share in the riches of all He's created. You know, your life has great value to Him. He wants you to understand that value. But if you waste your life chasing things of lesser value than godliness, even good things, your life won't be as fulfilled as it could with godliness as your top priority. With God, walking with God, believing in Him, and worshiping Him. If we can get a hold of that idea in our head, that we've been given the greatest gift, and that gift of grace from Jesus' sacrifice has been given to each and every one of us. And I know we trudge through life day by day, and it doesn't quite have that meaning that it had when we were first baptized, when we rose out of that water. You know, the song pops up in my head, "Oh Happy Day." You know, what a happy day that is. But each and every day that we wake up, we need to remind ourselves that God is great and God is good and God has sent the sacrifice so that you and I can be saved from our sins. And each and every day, that'll help bring us just a little bit closer to Him because He's done so much for us. Many have the misconception that if you live a godly life, you'll miss out on a lot of good things. And nothing could be further from the truth. Godliness enhances the value of our lives. You know, some people don't want to attend church or become a Christian or something like that. The Emperor Constantine waited till he was really old before he got baptized, just for the simple reason was he wasn't finished sinning, so to speak. and he wanted to be old and not care about those things anymore. But that's not the way it works out there. So, godliness has value for all things. And that's a good sign or something good to think about each and every day. It has value for all things. Every time the word godliness is used by Paul in his letter to ministers, it's found 15 times in the New Testament, and 11 of those times it is used in these letters that Paul wrote to the preachers and the missionaries. It shouldn't be surprising since Paul makes godliness the core of one of his trustworthy truths. And it's, in fact, it's one of the major themes of 1 Timothy. So how does godliness enhance life's value? Well, it promotes a peaceful lifestyle. 1 Timothy 2:2 tells us that. You want to be at peace with yourself. If you're in turmoil, you're not happy. If you've got problems, you're not happy. You know, whether they're problems in your mind, problems about the future, or real problems, godliness will promote a peaceful lifestyle. Because as a child of God, we don't have to worry like others do. The Bible tells us to pray for all men, especially for kings and others in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Isn't that great? That we can have a life of peace amid all the turmoil that's out there. A lot of trouble out there. A lot of trouble throughout the world. It doesn't touch us generally directly that much, but it does touch a lot of people's hearts, and it does touch our heart to see them suffering. Peacefulness is associated with godliness. Turmoil, unrest, crime, terrorism, all stems from ungodliness. And secondly, godliness promotes the true value of femininity. 1 Timothy 2:10. Women don't have to win beauty contests or be fashion models to be loved and appreciated. Far too much emphasis is placed on outward beauty in many circles. So much that the qualities that really matter are often overlooked. You know, and there's commercials out there that tell us we need this and we need that. And God's words say good works should be attractive adornment of a woman of godliness, not how much makeup or jewelry or revealing clothes she may wear out there. That's not the thing that God says gives a woman her value, but all those good qualities. The scripture verse elevates the value of womanhood. Godliness gives clarity in uncertain times. 1 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says here, great is the mystery of godliness, but it describes that Jesus modeled it. It's not always easy to live godly lives, but we can simplify the decisions we make by following Christ's example. Follow the example that He gave us in this life. Godliness also leads to contentment. 1 Timothy 6, 3-11. If your goal is to be the richest, smartest, most beautiful, most popular person, you will never be happy because you will always be competing with others for those goals. If your goal is godliness, however, that is attainable. False teachers presume that gain is godliness. But God's words say godliness with contentment is great gain. So you have those people out there that tell you if you get with God, you'll get rich. You'll do well. You'll have plenty. Well, maybe I ought to go talk to all those Christians in Nigeria and those other countries who seem to be way more happier and content and more into God than a lot of people in America. But they're happy, but they're not rich. They are rich in one way, and that's in godliness. Godliness touches our inner self. In 2 Timothy 3:5, we're warned not to follow those having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It is possible to put on an outward show, but true godliness affects the real you. Godliness will forever be associated with the truth. Titus 1:1. Lies and hypocrisy occur when we don't practice truth. In Paul's greeting to Titus, he says the truth is after godliness. When you follow God's truth, you will be godly. When you are godly, you will follow God's truth. And that's the thing. You have trouble in your life today. You have things that are unsettled, things that you're waiting on, things that as impatiently as we can, we wait for them to happen. God can bring that contentment today. He can take away the fear, the apprehension. He can make our lives just a little bit better. But we have to get with the program, as they say. We have to get with Him, because He's the one that brings that to us. When we exhaust all the possibilities of doing something in our lives and done everything we can to rectify a situation, you leave it in God's hands. You pray to Him. And you pray for the resolution to come. That's the only way it can get resolved. Otherwise, you're just sitting there waiting for the other foot to fall, or the hammer to drop, or whatever problem you have in your life. And to get to godliness, remember this. Jesus gave up being God to come down to this earth. He vested Himself of all that power that He had within Him and came down and submitted Himself to a poor life and submitted to death. Could you imagine the Creator of life having to have that life taken away from Him? But He rose again so that you and I would have that opportunity. An opportunity not afforded the demons who fell. They were already in heaven. They should have known better. But for you and I, we have that opportunity to change our lives, to become godly, to shed the sin of the past, and to be forgiven for those sins through Christ. And today, we can make that happen. We can, confess our sins, repent, turn our life around, get baptized, come out of that water, and walk anew with God. That'll be the happiest day on your life. And the next happiest days after that is going to be every day afterwards, if we'll walk with God and live in godliness. I don't know what your condition is this morning, but won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?